This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The 90s sitcom Friends ended 12 years ago, and it is still a hit.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody!
Smelly cat, it's not your fault.
Monica!
Netflix has put the entire series up for instant streaming, and people are passing around comments about the show online. Listicles like 31 Friends jokes that never get old are getting hits. So is a recent op-ed titled, How a TV Sitcom Triggered the Downfall of Western Civilization. The most confounding thing about Friends' resurgence is who's watching. Young millennials, many of whom never watched its original run in the 90s and early aughts. Adam Sternberg is an author and contributing editor for New York Magazine, where we found his recent article, Why Do So Many 20-somethings Want to Stream a 20-Year-Old Sitcom About a Bunch of 20-somethings Sitting Around in a Coffee Shop? And Adam, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So numbers-wise, what is the evidence that there is a big trend among millennials watching Friends?
Well, this was an article that started really with the kind of anecdotal evidence that's often sort of ambient in nature. Our culture editor had been listening to a podcast where a TV critic, a prominent TV critic, Andy Greenwald, discussed going back to his high school to talk to students there and how he had been nervous because he thought, well, you know, he didn't even really know what kids like to watch on TV these days with all the crazy streaming options and new shows and everything. And when he asked the kids what they liked to watch, they said, oh, we love this show called Friends, as if maybe he would never have heard of it. And once we started to dig into it, we realized that it is a kind of genuine phenomenon. First of all, a widespread phenomenon. You know, Friends is still in reruns across the country, and 16 million people watch it every week in its various airings on different stations. Which, you know, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but 16 million people watching one show every week would be a viable network hit today. You know, networks would kill for a show that drew 16 million viewers. But also a lot of the new viewers who are discovering it are discovering it on outlets like Netflix, where they can stream it in its entirety, watch as many episodes as they want in a row. And, you know, in the course of researching this article, I met so many young people, early 20s and even teenagers, who are obsessed with the show. And they're only just discovering it now.
So are you a fan of Friends, or are you just scratching your head looking at this and thinking, why are they watching this?
I am both a fan of Friends and I am scratching my head looking at this, partly because I'm old enough to be sort of a Friends 1.0 fan. I remember when it was on TV every Thursday night and people would gather around and watch it. And I was always a little bit trepidatious about watching it at the time because it wasn't the coolest show in the world. It was very popular, but there were much cooler sitcoms to be into, like Seinfeld and shows like that. But over the course of its 10 seasons, you know, like many people, I kind of got sucked into it, and I certainly watched the grand finale of the show way back in 2004, along with about 50 million other people. And I, like those 50 million other people, I never imagined that the show would be culturally relevant 10 years later. It seemed really like a relic of a particular age, and especially because it's so much about being in your 20s and life in the 90s. So the scratching my head part definitely comes in once we realize that there's this whole new audience of people, especially since they're young people who you would think on the surface have very little in common with the 20-somethings as they're portrayed on the TV show, because Friends happened for the most part in an era before the internet, before social media, before all the sort of concerns that we associate with being young today. So the fact that young people were drawn to the show was a really intriguing phenomenon for me.
Yeah, you make that point in the article that this period, it was on from 94 to 2004, which is kind of, you know, the dawn of the internet taking over as the way that people communicated with each other. What does that have to do with this kind of nostalgic feeling about Friends?
Well, what I discovered in talking to people is that, in a sense, that distance that they feel from the characters in the show, there's many things that young people relate to, the standard things about relationships and starting out in life and being sort of nervous and excited about what's going to happen and having this kind of group of new friends that become really a sort of surrogate family for you. All of that is very appealing in the way that it always was for viewers. But for the younger viewers, it's also a chance to sort of live in a time that they don't live in, when people really connected face to face, where the phenomenon of having a group of friends really centered on meeting in a coffee shop, hanging out in someone's apartment, not texting people, not meeting people through Tinder. You know, and to them, there's a real kind of nostalgic glow to that era. And they also have this idea that the 90s, in hindsight, was a very simple sort of halcyon age. Of course, those of us who remember it more clearly remember that it had all of the complications of any age. But to young people, I think, given the kind of things they're dealing with now, given the complications, especially in terms of social interactions and things like that, the world of friends seems all the more appealing because it's devoid of all these kind of complicating factors.
Well, so when we were talking about this, this article was pitched at an ideas meeting. We were all surprised to hear that our youngest producer, Molly, had in fact just started watching Friends. So we thought we would get a firsthand look at why one 20-something is watching the show. Here she is. She's talking with our producer, Taylor Quimby.
Okay, Molly, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Molly Donahue. I'm a producer for Word of Mouth, and I'm a millennial.
How old are you specifically?
I'm 23.
When and why did you start watching Friends?
I started watching Friends a couple weeks ago, and I think I started watching it because it popped up on Netflix as, you know, something I would like, and it's popular now. You know, they have those bars where they tell you what's trending on Netflix.
Oh, like there's a banner that sort of said, like, why not watch Friends?
Yeah.
But there's so many TV shows out now. Why not something new? Why Friends?
It's new to me. You know, I've already watched How I Met Your Mother too many times. And here's a show that I've never seen, but is consistently popular. Everybody makes references to it all the time.
So you never saw Friends growing up?
I saw the odd episodes, but I didn't watch it, certainly. Like, people my age would watch it, and I remember distinctly them talking to our fifth grade teacher because she was also upset that it was ending. So, like, a bunch of 10 and 11-year-olds reminiscing with this 30-year-old woman about a TV show.
Do you think of Friends as being particularly dated?
No, because a lot of the stuff that I guess would seem dated doesn't feel important in a sitcom plot anyway. So, like, if you watch sitcoms that they make now, a lot of the time when they throw in technology stuff for a joke, sometimes it's just tropey and weird.
Yeah.
Or when they do use it, it's not something that couldn't be explained somehow else. I was just watching an episode last night where everybody's super worried because Ross didn't come home at night. Uh-huh. And, like, he does not do that. And they couldn't get a hold of him, which I guess if you're looking at it from a dated perspective is because they're in the 90s. There's no cell phones. But also could just as easily happen on a sitcom now because they'd be like, you didn't answer your phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. You nailed it. All right. So are you going to keep watching?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't Friends, do you think there would be a different sort of older show that you might put in your rotation?
Yeah, definitely. I watch a lot of Frasier before I started watching Friends.
Oh, Frasier. Yeah, nobody's talking about the Frasier resurgence.
Among millennials. No. Maybe it's coming, though.
Molly Donahue, producer for Word of Mouth, with senior producer Taylor Quimby talking about Friends. She's a genuine millennial, and she is one of the many who is watching Friends right now. The sitcom did end more than 10 years ago, but it's got a whole new audience among millennials who've been streaming the show on Netflix. And Adam, what do you think? It's new to me, she says.
Yeah, I mean, that really points to the other factor here, which is a technological one. You know, in the 90s, when I was what would be a millennial now, in my 20s, a Gen X, you know, there was a real interest in old shows like The Brady Bunch, for example, and there was a kind of nostalgic love for shows like that that people had grown up on and were kind of re-watching. But at that point, there was really no way to rewatch the show unless you wanted to kind of sit up and wait for it to come on your TV set in syndication. Now, of course, the entire archive of culture is available at the press of a button, and you can basically stream an entire series from 20 years ago whenever you want. So I think if this phenomenon had occurred in a previous age, what would have happened is something like what we saw happen with the TV show Happy Days in the 70s, where people were kind of having a 50s nostalgia, so TV networks said, okay, let's make a 50s show for people. Now you don't need to make a 90s show for people because they can just watch the real thing from the 90s on Netflix and, you know, dive right in and see the whole thing from beginning to end. So in a sense, it's a sort of a cultural phenomenon, but it's also, I think, exacerbated by just the technological tools that we have now.
I lived in New York in the 90s when Friends was extremely popular. And, you know, there are many women wearing the Rachel haircut and many people using Friends as a reference. But nobody's apartment looked quite like that. You know, that was the whole thing. It was a fantasy then, and it's a fantasy now. I think that's one of the points you make in your article.
Yeah, it's interesting talking to young people now watching the show and the extent to which they believe that that was what life was like in the 90s. I think they understand there was always a kind of wish fulfillment element to the show. And certainly the New York that was depicted back then was not a New York that existed then. And it's not one that exists now. That West Village apartment that the women lived in would be even more unattainable now than ever before. But the kind of genius of the show is it presents this sort of fantasy version of that moment in life when you're just surrounded by these new friends and everything is possible and sort of scary and you're falling in love with each other and you don't know who's going to get together. And, you know, it's not a show that ever really dealt with big issues or serious political issues or anything like that. I think it very smartly kept to us almost a sort of soap opera conceit where it was all about who's falling in and out of love with who. And that, I think, is why, you know, the appeal of it has persisted.
So all of these digital natives raised with technology all around them, nostalgic for a pre-ultra-connected time. How about for you? Do you feel any nostalgia for the Friends era?
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly feel nostalgic for an era which I can actually remember being an adult in before sort of 24/7 online connectivity when the experiences you had throughout the day were really just the things you did in the physical world and the people you met and the people you talked to. You know, nowadays, like many people, I have full work days that spent mostly just on the computer answering emails or talking to people or looking at websites. And I certainly think about what the difference between what life was like before and what it is now. But I always kind of chalk that up to just getting old and being nostalgic in a sort of typical way. So that's why I was very interested to find that there is a strain of that nostalgia among people who don't remember what it was like before you were online all the time and you had a little computer in your pocket, that to them there's an appeal to that era as well.
Right. We don't have that, but we have Friends. Well, Adam, thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Adam Sternberg, he's an author and contributing editor for New York Magazine, and you'll find a link to his article on the resurgence of Friends at wordofmouthradio.org.